Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You tune to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida. City of sunshine. Praise God. Amen. I'm smiling because it's no sunshine today. I said that at that time. But anyway, it's still a city of sunshine because we are some sunshiny people. Oh, the sun is shining in our lives and your life too. Bless the Lord. Praise God. We thank God for you and you today. So glad to be with you on such a beautiful day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in this day. Yes, we are glad to be with you, you see. Praise God. Trust that all is well with you. Trust your weather is fine also today. We give praise and honor and glory unto God for all things this day, people. Yes, and we want you to know we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We really love you. And here's Diane.
Praise the Lord. Father, we give you all honor, glory, and praise that is due unto your holy name, Lord. Father, thanking you for this day. This day that you have given us, knowing that no day is promised to us, Lord Father. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Now, Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we ask you, Father, for forgiveness in those that we're praying for, forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you, in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit, Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespassed against us, Lord. Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, Lord, you know each and every person, name by name, and you know what they're in need of, Lord. And we thanking you for your will being done. We thank you for the prayers that you have already answered. We thank you for the prayers that you're answering as we pray, Lord, and the prayers that you're about to answer. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for giving us the strength, Lord, Father God, to endure, Lord, Father God, each and every test and trial, Lord, that is coming our way, Lord. So, Father, as we touch and agree, Lord, Father, not just with us here in the office, but those that are listening, Lord. Father, as we touch and agree, Lord, Father, we say, let your will be done. Father, for you say, by your stripes we are healed, and we are thanking you right now for healing of bodies, healing of minds, Lord Father, healing of the natural and spirit man right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, as we hold before you Deacon Clark, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord, for bringing him through, Lord Father God's surgery. We ask that you continue to touch his body right now, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord, for the healing of his body right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you also for bringing Raymond out of surgery, Lord Father, and touching his body right now, Lord Father. Continue to heal his body right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we hold before you Corey's daughter, Lord Father, newborn, Lord. You know what she's in need of. You know what is going on, Lord Father. So, Father, we ask you right now, Lord Father God, to touch her right now. Touch her body, touch whatever it is that is going on right now. We send forth healing to her body, for you said, by your stripes we are healed. So we thank you for her healing right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, we continue to hold before you Patricia, Lord Father, and her unborn child, Lord Father. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over her unborn child right now in the name of Jesus. Father, that she may not have no more contractions until that time, Lord Father. Father, protect them, shield them. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we continue to pray for Felicia Dungy, Lord Father. Touch her body right now, Lord Father, from the crown of her head, Father, to the soles of her feet. Father, as we come against a stage 3 kidney disease right now, Lord, Father, we know nothing is too hard for you, Lord Father. Father, we know that you can even put a new kidney there, Lord Father. Well, Father, we know that you can give her that strength, Lord, Father God, to go through right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we say, let your will be done right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we continue, Lord, Father, to pray for Amanda, Father, that she get a place of her own, Lord, Father, that she and her daughter can be safe in, Lord, Father, and protect them from hurt, harm, and danger, Lord, Father. Father, we thanking you right now, Lord, Father, for each and every child, Lord. Father, even adult, Lord, Father God, that you have saved, Lord, from human trafficking, Lord, Father. Father, from them being a statistic, Lord, Father God, being an organ donor, Lord, Father, against their will, Lord. Father, we thanking you right now for your shield of protection around them right now. Father, we hold the families before you, Lord, Father. Father, touch their hearts and touch their minds, Lord, Father, that they look to you, Lord, Father. Pray to you sincerely, Father, knowing that nothing is too hard for you, and you are God, Lord, Father, the one and only Father. Father, we thank you and glorify you right now, Lord. Father, give them that strength that they need, those that have lost loved ones, Lord Father. Give them the comfort that they need, the peace, Lord Father, that they need within themselves right now, Lord. And those that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, let them know it's not too late and they don't have to go into a Christless grave. We thank you for someone being in their path, Lord Father, leading and guiding them to you right now. In the name of Jesus, let them know that you're a merciful and forgiving God. Father, we thank you and glorify you, Lord. We thank you for this broadcast, Father, for all those that listen, all the kingdoms, Lord, the nation, Lord, Father, that it reached, Lord, Father, touching people, Lord. Father, that they're going to give their life to you, Lord. We thank you for the word of encouragement, Lord, Father. Father, we ask you this day, as we hold this broadcast before you, giving it back to you, we ask you to show up and show out, Lord Father, as we cancel every assignment that was sent towards this broadcast. Anyone listening or speaking on this broadcast, we cancel the assignment right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. And we ask you to show up, show out, and just have your way. We thank you for healing and deliverance being on this line, Father. We thank you for those, Lord Father, that will give their testimony, ask for prayer, Father. Oh, Father, seek your soul salvation, giving their lives to you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, as we speak it, Lord Father, right now, Father, I ask you to decrease my apostle and deacon, Lord Father, as you increase in them. Use them in a mighty and a special way, Father, as the word come forth, Lord. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you. Lord, we thank you for laughter.
Praise the
Lord. We thank you for laughter, Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord.
The Lord.
Everybody ought to praise the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. We thank God for the words of prayer. Now, did you hear any prayer with your name on it? Did you hear it? Well, if you didn't, it's because you didn't call. 347-857-3925 and press the 1. Yes, and talk to somebody. Tell them what you want the prayer to be about today. Let you know that this is the day for you. This is your day. This is your day. No matter what it looked like, it's still your day.
Amen.
So give us that call, 347-857-3925. We're waiting to hear from you today. You want to just tell us about whatever you're praying to God for? What do you want God to do for you? All you got to do is just give us a call. You know, isn't that wonderful? Yes. We are waiting just for you. All right. Amen. Now let me give you a word here today. While we're waiting, we're still waiting. Yes. Okay. All right. The more we count the blessings we have, the less we crave the luxuries we haven't. The more we count the blessings we have, the less we crave the luxuries we haven't. That we don't have, okay?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you know you don't have some luxuries that you'd like to have. Oh, yes, there's plenty of luxuries we like to have. But unfortunately, we don't have them at this time. But we can dream, can't we? Dream on, people. We thank God for you today again. We thank God for life.
Yes.
We thank God for Sister Diane here. We thank God for Deacon Mike here.
Amen.
We thank God for us.
Amen.
And yes. The breath that we're breathing, we definitely thank God for today. Hallelujah. You know, I was sitting here thinking, I said, you know, our Bible talk last night, we was talking about our growth, growing. You know, the training that we encounter in life, the training that comes from the mentors, those around us, the training that comes from our parents, the training that comes from us, you know. What have you learned? What have you understood? What have you seen in your life? You know, there's so many things that have us on, you know, in our training camps.
Yeah.
You know, and a camp could be anywhere, you see, where you learn. Wherever you learn something. Now, if you had an experience and you ain't learned nothing out of it, I don't know who to call you.
Come
you
on,
know,
man.
I'm not going to say it because you'll be mad. Okay? In other words, but we think about these things. So if we don't have any training, guess what happens? If we don't get any training, you know, even though you see there's ministers, preachers, teachers, whatever they call themselves, and they haven't had any training whatsoever, none whatsoever. Life haven't taught them a thing. So what is their problem? You know what the problem is? They need therapy, don't they? Amen. Hallelujah. They need therapy. And I was sitting here thinking about that, you know, really giving that, I was really giving it some thought. How much you pay for therapy? You think about that. We're going to talk about that now, okay? Now, let me see. Let me tell you this. You haven't had any training, so therefore, what happens to you? You emotionally drained, and you're under pressure. You're vulnerable to making serious mistakes, right?
Come on.
See? These things happen when, you know, you haven't been trained. You haven't been trained in the how-tos of anything of life. It's like you got a woman, they call it, want a husband, but she don't know how to cook or clean up. She don't know which way to mop go. you know, you see, the broom. She don't know which way to use it because she ain't been trained how to buy the broom or a mop. You see what I'm saying? So, and that woman is subject to be emotionally unstable because she don't know. And the husband is getting mad. Well, he should have thought of that before he married her. You know, in the first place. That's my opinion. You ain't mine. See, he just looking at the body. He wasn't looking at nothing else. Okay, he wasn't thinking about nothing else until the time come he married her. And then you find out she don't know how to clean up. She don't know how to wash no clothes. Not do nothing. You see? And now you got a problem. Think about that. You got a problem. And you going crazy and oh, I'm going to get rid of, you know, all kind of craziness people go through, right? Because they're emotionally disturbed by what they can't do. All right? Well, that blame somebody that didn't train you when you were coming up. Right? Somebody didn't tell you you don't do this or you don't do that or the other. You know what I mean? Y'all don't know what I mean. Here today, okay, you need therapy. Therapy. That's what you need. Think about, okay, let's think about, okay, one thing, Samson. Now, Samson was playing around the wrong place he's supposed to play. Now he can't say he didn't have no training because his mom and dad told him not to mess with them people over there, okay? But his eyes, he became long-eyed. His eyes saw somebody, and, oh, they looked so attractive to him. They looked different than the women in his camp, okay? Well, now his women in his camp didn't wear makeup. But the ones in the other enemy's camp had makeup on, jewels, and all kind of low-cut clothes showing all they wears and everything. So that's attractive to a man. You know, a man is visual. Men are visual, okay? And it's what they see, okay, that attracts their attention and it goes to their loins, you know. That's where it heads, you know, from the eyes to the loins. So, don't stop in between. And so Samson was noticing Delilah, too, wasn't he? Think about it now. Now, how did Delilah get him? She tied him out. Day after day, she woke him down, non-stop, because he stayed around there instead of going home, being home, doing what he's supposed to do in his own camp where he was. He ran there with his head in her lap, just relaxing. He thought he was relaxing, but she kept on and kept on. She emotionally did what? Tired him out. She just wore him down. And all he did, had his head in her lap, and she wore him down. Day in. Now, if you hear somebody going day in and day out, you get tired, say, I'm going home. I ain't come back here. That's what we would say, wouldn't we? But no, he was just, oh, he just going to stay there anyhow. And she just carried on till she wore him out. She wore him out. All right? Now he don't have any protection because he let the secret out. Now that he was told at home, in his training manual, say, don't cut your hair. Don't even tell, don't tell nobody about you. Don't tell nobody either. See? But see what I'm talking about when I say what love will do to you? Love will have you going against what you've been taught. that love will tie you out till you reveal. You know what they tell you? You know what they send the spy, a woman spy, to get the secrets from the agents and stuff? You know what they do? They have pillow talk. You see what I'm saying? And you in that mood now, and they just, you just tell them all, well, what about, and you ain't got sense enough to know that the person asking you some very important questions that you ain't supposed to answer. See? And you let them tie you out, woe you out, just a lovey-dovey-dovey, all the pillow talk. And you let the secret out, don't you? Now you're unprotected, and whatever world you belong in, you come from, that's not protected anymore. Everybody's in an emotional uproar now. Everyone is in an emotional uproar. You see what we do at given times? We might have had some little therapy. We might have had some mentoring. Okay? Now, Samson had some mentoring. He had gotten the word what to do, but he allowed the enemy to change things in his life. And we do that ourselves to this day. We relax in the enemy camp. Now, why do we wait till we go to the enemy camp to relax? Now, while you was home, you ain't relaxed. See? But now, you get to the enemy camp and it looks so good. Does the grass look green on the other side? Actually, it's not green at all. It's just as brown as it want to be. It's just that you became colorblind. And you can't see. You see? Now, you have gotten yourself into trouble. Let's think about old Samson got himself in trouble. See, every day he was there, getting some more poison. See, every day that's the way it was until she got what she wanted. Okay, and she got what she wanted, she brought him down. Do you want the enemy to bring you down? Or you need therapy right now. Come on, talk to me today. You need therapy. Because you have been playing in the enemy's camp too long. Hear what I'm saying now? You've been playing there too long. And the enemy is getting the best of you, and you're so tired. I'm so tired, I don't know what to do. I guess you don't know what to do. Because you're in the wrong place. Listening to the wrong thing. And guess what? The company that you are keeping. You have to think about the company that you keep. Now, if you that tired, that means you got some wrong people in your circle. Huh? Come on now. I heard somebody say, you might have these people in your circle, but they ain't in your corner. Okay. Huh? You see what I'm saying? You know when the boxer's in the ring? Lord, they fighting like crazy. But on this corner, this boxer got some people in their corner that's rooting for him. See? And they ain't going to be rooting for the one in the other corner. Okay? But they're rooting for the one in his corner. You want somebody in your corner that's rooting for you, right? That for you to be the winner. You don't want nobody to say that. Oh, Joe over there, beat him up. You hollering like that. That they going to put you out the corner. You see what I'm saying? Because you ain't for them. I would put them out too. That's what you need to do with who's in your little circle that you're in. But they all laughing and joking with you. And, oh, they just lie to you all the time. But behind your back, they saying something else. Come on now. You know them. You know them kind of people, don't you? Now let me see. You got to examine the company that you keep. And when you examine them and you find out, well, you know I've been blind as a bat. Look at that. This person ain't for me. These people not for me. And a lot of times it could be people in your own family, and you say, oh, that's my cousin Eddie. We've been close all our lives. You might have been close all your life, but Eddie ain't never been in your corner because Eddie jealous of you.
Come on now.
You see what I'm saying? Come on now. And you ain't never paid attention. Huh? The things started going bad for you, and now there's something that's saying, check out the people that's around you. You know, when that little voice tell you that, why you ignore it instead of listening? It say, check out the people that's around you. Are they really for you? What do you hear them saying? Now, we're going to go into Psalms 119. Now, the whole of almost the entire chapter, if you read it, it will help you in your therapy. Hear what I say? In your therapy session. Amen. I'm finding out today that the saints are going to have therapy and psychiatrists and everything more than the people in the world. And they're having problems. They're really having problems. Now listen what Psalms 119:63. This way I'm going. First, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Precepts. I am a companion. I am a friend. I'm a friend. All right. Yeah, I mean, you can put it the way you are. I am a friend to all who follow your precepts. If you follow the precepts of God, I'm a friend of yours. That's all. That's all he's trying to tell you. Okay. But now, if you don't follow God's precepts, and you want me to follow you, something wrong with that picture, don't you think? I think something wrong with that. So how this would tie in what we were talking about last night, about training and stuff like that. All right, we'll go with the 65. Thou hast dealt well with the servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. It 66 says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandment. Teach me now. Now, if I have been taught well, I don't need therapy, do you? Come on, somebody, help me, somebody. Help me, help me, help me. True line, true time, true time. You know how to keep yourself. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, he said, teach me good judgment and knowledge. Not bad judgment now. Good judgment and knowledge. For I have believed thy commandments. I'm believing your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Now, I got to keep what you taught me. See, when he say train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old he would not depart from it, that's what he means. Train them up because it will still be in them if they've been through your training. If somebody took time to teach you, this is why I say you can't just blame the whole world, this, that, and the other, but if you want to blame someone, blame for people that were supposed to teach them and didn't teach them because they were too busy about their own lives. So therefore, you wonder why so many children are offbeat. They need therapy. The children need therapy. We talking about the mothers. You can't help the mothers and the fathers because they done got so old now to therapy won't even hardly work with them. Only God would need to handle them, period. God, you can't take them to no counselor. But I found out something. The counselor need help. You see what I'm saying? These counselors that are not born again, saved, they need help. Who going to help them? See, they missed it because their parents did not think to teach them right from wrong. Good judgment, is the Bible saying. Now listen to the 68th verse. Say, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Now, if you know to do good, you ought to be able to teach somebody, don't you?
Amen.
Come on now. Well, how are you going to teach them wrong when you... Come on. Why we do the opposite? Well, I don't want, you hear people on jobs, I ain't going to be teaching them what I know.
I don't want them to take my job.
They're going
to
take my job. Well, have you ever thought of God may have a promotion for you to another job that he's going to open up just for you? Don't think about that, which we do in the carnal mind. We do think like that, don't we? Well, they take my job, then I ain't got no job. Well, think about this. If you teach them your job, now mind you, the boss may have that in mind, but the boss don't know what God got in mind.
Okay.
You could be elevated to another position higher and pay more. Have you ever thought of that? Some, you know, this is what you. We need teachers to teach. Okay. Teach God's ways and status. If you lose one job, you can get another one. There's another one. God will, if he have to make another job, God will make a job just for who? You. Do you understand? You see what I'm saying? Don't allow these things to come to mind. But listen, think about, I'm go back to Samson now. Think about this. He had the beautiful little girl in his camp. They just didn't wear the makeup and all that stuff on them, jewelry and stuff. They didn't have all that, okay? But guess what? They was just as beautiful as they were without all the paint. You see? Without all the paint. You see? And he didn't see what he had right there in his own land. See? Now think about this. Do you see what is right there in front of you? Okay, I have to tell you about a story of a good friend of mine. He's still a good friend of mine. He's a wonderful man of God. And he's a keyboard player, plus he's a businessman. But he's a keyboard player. And at the time, he's young. He was young. And, you know, he'd be in church every time I see him come to church. He didn't belong to my church, but he was always in my church, you know, all the time. And he talked to me all the time. And he say, Pastor say, I want a wife. I said, well, that's a good thing. God say for you to find the wife now, not wife finding you. He said, well, I'm looking. I said, okay, all right, that's good, that's good. I'm going to be praying that you find the right one. And every time you look, he be looking and looking, and one time he thought he had one, you know, but the daddy run him away, you know, and all, and I said, well, maybe that one wasn't for you if she couldn't make up her mind whether she wanted a husband or not herself when you asked her, you know, to go out. And she let her daddy run away. See, now today she still ain't got no husband. You see what I'm saying? Listening to her father at the time. You know, and he was a nice young man. He wasn't just chasing out and went after women and stuff. He wasn't a woman chaser, but he was doing what the Bible says, looking to find his good thing. Okay? And so he knew where to hang. He didn't hang in no balls and things. He was not taught that way. His family raised him up right. You see what I'm saying? But guess what? One day after some years later, and he done searched and looked, he visit another church, be playing for them over there, and he sees some, but they didn't really move him. So I said, well, don't be discouraged, baby. You will. God gonna give it to you in the time. And I keep encouraging him, and he'll come talk to me again. But I say, well, you'll get one. You don't want no know anything now, because then you got to try to throw them back. If you get one of them crazy ones, you want to throw them back, and you're in trouble. You see? He said, yeah, that's right, Pastor. So one day the young man came to me, and he say, Pastor, I said, yeah, what's happening? And he say, guess what? I said, what? Because he was happy. Oh, my gosh, he was happy. He said, I found her. I said, get out of here. You really did where? Where was she at? He say, right there in my own church. She had been right there under his nose all them years. And he ain't never looked in his own church. And do you realize that her father was training her to be the proper wife for the man that find her? Do you hear me? He was training her. He didn't let her be running out with all them other girls, smoking, drinking, cussing and all that. He did not allow none of that. But she had to be in church every time church door was open, because he was there, she was there too. And he really trained her how to take care of a house and all of that. See? And she didn't go out and do things that against her parents. I said, what? And she was beautiful. She didn't have to wear makeup. She was a very beautiful girl. And I said, come on, you did find one? He said, yeah. And I asked her father for her hand. I said, go ahead, you doing the right thing. Go ahead. And that young man, I'm telling you, I don't see many that do what he did, and I'm very proud of him. He was really raised right. Do you know he prepared for the wedding? He went and they told us, find a house. We're going to find a house. He bought a house. He lived with his parents, by the way. He didn't run out on his own where he can get in trouble. Some other man, boys can tell him to get in trouble. He stayed at home with his parents. He got a house, furnished it, and everything before the wedding. See? I say, now, you know how you ought to, I say, you need to tell some people about this so these young people can hear that. This is what I told them. You need to do that. See? But I tell you, the man was, it was just, you can see he was mentored. He was trained the way it should be. Not fantasy, but the way it should be. And we were at the wedding. Oh, yeah, the people at the church was at the wedding. And it was a beautiful wedding. And what happened? When they got married, they got their own house. They ain't got to go in nobody else's house, stay there till they find a house or an apartment or something. No, he had already took his money because he had a good job, and he was a musician too. God bless. And they had children. When they begin to have children, he said, I don't want you to work no more. You stay home. And so she stayed home. She obeyed and she stayed home. And he taking care of her and the kids. See? I say, God, it is possible, ain't it? Now, don't that make you want to wait? Don't it? Come on now. Don't that make you want to wait? I wish I could introduce you to him, but I can't even get him here no more. I can't get him from there because he working and taking care of his family. He's a family man, like he was taught. His daddy taught him how to be a family man, and his mother taught him what to look for in a woman. He had some friends that tried to persuade him to get, you know, go the other way, and I kept telling him, don't listen to them, because they made a mistake. They got one, and then they had to turn them loose because they got the wrong thing. He was looking at the flesh part, and the other friend was looking at the flesh instead of looking at the spirit. Didn't wait for God. You know what he listened to? I'm going to tell you what he listened to. His doctor told, the other friend doctor told him, you need a woman in your life. That's what you need. That's the only thing that's messing, you know, got you sick. So he just went out there and got one and married it because he knew not to shake, okay? He knew not to shake, but he's still sick because he had to get rid of her because she was crazy as a bedbug, you see? He didn't inquire of God. Now, the other one, he kept in touch with me, asking me, pray, Pastor, pray. And I pray every time I seen him, I prayed. I said, I'm still praying for you, even when you're not here, I'm praying for you. And he always tell me, you know, if he find anybody or somebody, another and everything, if it didn't work, I say, well, you know, that's not what God wants for you, you know. Just be patient. It's coming. See, but we're not patient today. You see why we need therapy? Because we are not patient. Huh? We're not patient in what God wants. We don't want nobody to teach us the way. Oh, I know how to get me a woman. I know how to get me a man. That's what they'll take. See? But you don't know. Listen what he say here. He said in 69, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. See, people are going to lie on you, and they're going to tell you a lie to get you, keep you from waiting for God to tell you. See? They'll tell you a lie. Oh, you don't need, you, there ain't no such thing. But let me tell you what the 70 said. Their heart is as far as Greece, but I delight in the law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy status. You know, it's good for stuff to happen so you can learn how to maintain yourself, you see. You have no need of spending your money going for therapy. Huh? Do you hear what I'm saying? You have no need to do that. First, get rid of the company that you keep, the negative company that you keep, the naysayers all around you, the people that's always saying you can't do this and you can't do that. Huh? You know people to tell you that. And somebody look at me, I say, you know, I see a mansion that I like. You know what I'm saying? I see a mansion that I like. And you tell me, now, you ain't got no mansion money. That's what somebody would tell me. Well, true. I don't see it in my hand, but I know it's there. If God's will is mine, right? Hear what I say. If it's God's will, it's mine. It doesn't matter that you don't think I should have it. It's what God say that counts. What his will is, that counts. Listen what he say. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. My. You hear what the words say? The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. In other words, when God say it, it's going to happen. Because I've learned to listen to what the word says. Isn't that right? Have you learned that yet? No, because of the choices you make. The people that you choose for your friends, the ones even in your family, God is telling you you need to get away from around them. You need to distance yourself from them. You know, but they my family. And the family the one killing you. You see, we don't listen. We don't want to hear that. That's bad news. And, you ain't got no family. I got a whole lot of family. I got all kind of family. See? Plenty family. And it don't matter that they don't want to be around me because I don't need to be around them anyway. They ain't nothing but naysayers. You see? So they doing me a favor by not associating with me. Now, once upon a time, I thought like you. I thought that way. Oh, I want my family. But the family didn't want me. So why worry about it? God give you a new family. He said when your mother forsake you, he going to take you up. In other words, he going to be your mother. He going to be your father, sister, brother, whatever you looking for, all you need. He will put somebody in your life to take the place that better than what your real one would have done. See, God is just good that way. He got something for you better than what you think you lost. And you don't have to go crazy having to be under no psychiatrist. You don't have to go looking for help with your thinking. Because the knowledge of God will come forth. See? And lead you and guide you into all truth. Listen what he say in the 75th. Thy hand have made me and fashion me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. See, he done fixed me up the right way. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Do you see? In your training, what you get? Can you see in your training what you get? They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hope in the word. When they see me, I'm going to have joy. Hey, hallelujah. See, I don't need therapy. If anything, I'll counsel you. Now, I'm not a certified state counselor, nothing like that, but I am certified in Christ. Hey, hallelujah, because I don't have to go to one. Do you see? I have my therapy is in the word. See, when he say separate yourself, I separated myself. I stopped trying to be friends with these people. I tried to be friends with all kind of people, pastors and evangelists and what have you and everything. I tried to be friends. They didn't want to be friends, so I just say, okay, no problem. And you do what? Cut yourself from them because God got something better for you. See? Because if you keep hanging around them, it's going to drag you down just the same way like Samson was dragged down. He was drugged all the way down to the pit, put his eyes out where he couldn't see no more. They figured like they forgot his hair gonna grow back, you know. That's real dumb of them. They ain't pay attention, you know. But they put his eyes out, figure he can't hurt nobody if he can't see. But he had one thing for him. God is a forgiver of all your sins. And God knew what he had brought him to. He found out what God had brought him to. Do you see? Even though to you, you would say it's too late, he can't see. Oh, but that's not going to stop him from doing what he done in the beginning, because it was in him, because that's what he was trained to do, to destroy the enemy. He still had the power to destroy his enemy. See? You have the power to destroy your enemy if you're going to allow him to take out your eyes or take out your whatever you need to use. Now, just because you kind of, how you call it, you took something from me, I lost something, but I gained even more. I gain the power of God in a greater thing this time than I had in the beginning. His power is even more greater now than it was in the beginning. Because he didn't have one of his senses. He couldn't see. He might have not could see, but oh, honey, his knowledge was clear. He knew the plan that God had put in him, and he was going to destroy his enemy. The enemy that had even put his eyes out, he was able to destroy. You can do the same. You don't have to give the devil a chance to do any more harm than he already done in your life. He's afflicted you already, okay? You don't have to allow him to afflict you anymore. Now you regain your power. When you have regained your power, you have power over the enemy. Do you understand? Oh, God has given it to you. He said, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. You thought you hurt me by putting my eyes out where you say think I can't see, or maybe you cut off my hand. But if you cut off my hand, I got another hand, or I got a head, I can bump you with it, or something I can do with what I have. Because the power is within me, you gave me that power. It was me that cast that power aside. But because you are forgiven God, I repented of what I've done. I'm sorry for what I've done, and I'm really crying out to you, God. Take me back, Lord God. Restore me, God. Help me, God. See what I'm talking about? We are out there, and we don't even know the God that we serve. We don't understand how, you know, the power that God has given us to fight the enemy, not for us to go in and join the enemy. I know the enemy looked, oh, it looked so good. Everything looked good, ain't good. Didn't they tell you that? Everything that's shining ain't gold. All that glitters is definitely not gold. You know that, don't you? You got a lot of gold plated. Stuff is gold plated. Oh, let's go and look for. This is just so interesting. I wasn't going just here in this scripture, but it was so interesting. It was very interesting to think about what the words say. I wanted to tell you another little story, you know, that I ran through, you know, ran upon. It was about there was a, you know, in the New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, they have the Tournament of Roses parade in California, right? Well, the story was one of the floats, pretty float, suddenly sputtered and quit. The float had ran out of gas. That's what it was. And so what did it happen? The whole parade was held up. Until someone went and they thought about, well, maybe you got no gas. They found a gas can, right? And they put some, went and got some gas, put the gas in the thing. What happened? The float started back up, right? So the parade was finished. But the fact of the matter is, guess what the float belonged to? The Standard Oil Company. Huh? Now, you would think they would have run what? Gassed up. It's their float. You'd think they would gassed up with all the gas they got. You see how we don't pay attention? Huh? And what happened? You're going to need some help. You're going to need somebody to bring you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Do you understand? Do you get the picture here? You see how things work out for us? You see how you forget things around you? Hmm? Come on now. Think about how you do. We do as a people. We do as a people when we think we so smart, we ain't smart as we think we are because we want to do everything without God. Huh? And we don't think we need him, huh? Well, that's, just think about it. You don't think you need God. Well, you know, we don't need God for everything, huh? Now, let me tell you what Isaiah said about it. Hmm? Okay. Isaiah 40 and 29. He give power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases your strength. God does that just for you. Come on, say just for me.
Just for me.
See? He got something for you. Did you get the picture here today? God got something for you. You don't need no therapy. You don't got to go get no therapy. Why are you over there getting therapy, spending the money? Give that money to Jesus. Hear what I'm saying? Give it to Jesus and stop around here trying to take your money. Well, I need help. I need help. I'm depressed. Why are you depressed? What are you not doing? Hmm? Why are you depressed? Hmm? You get depressed, you can get right on out of it. Read the word. Pray. Call on God. Huh? Hmm? He deactivate that depression. Do you see? It's deleted out of your life. Now, you think about the people you're around. You think about what you're doing or not doing to make you depressed. Those are things that could come up in your life and cause depression. Hmm? Is it that you're hating someone or jealous of someone? Think about all these things that could hinder you and cause your depression. It didn't just come up there just like that. You said, well, the devil made me do it. He ain't made you do nothing to it. Didn't he say he give you power over all the power of the enemy? That's what the words say. So now he ain't made you do nothing. You allowed yourself in some form or fashion to arrive at that point. Now you going to try to go find you a, I'm going to try to find a Christian therapist. Well, the Christian therapist that you need is the Word of God. Huh? He said he'll strengthen you, didn't it? Didn't I just read that a while ago? God will strengthen you. Does that sound like he wants you to be depressed? See, he increases. Now, the word, he increases your power. Did you understand that? If your power is gotten weak because you ain't been praying and you ain't been calling on the Lord or reading your scriptures or anything, and you gotten a little weak, he said he'll increase it. Now, your strength is being increased at this hour, this hour, this hour, right now. I pronounce that to you right now that your strength is increased. Strength, take over the body right now from head to toe in the name of Jesus. And we bind anything that hinders right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And it is so. So receive it right now. All my friends on this broadcast, receive it right now. It's yours. It's yours. If you can receive it now, it's yours. You will feel that within the hour. You feel stronger than what you were when we started. That's your therapy today. Hello. Hallelujah. I told you, you don't have to go pay nobody for therapy. Now, look. Put that offering, put that money in the offering in there, send it to us, amen, and that'll be your fee. Hallelujah. Wasn't that easy? You didn't have to go drive someplace, find somebody, see if somebody recommend this one here as a good therapist. How could they tell you if he good or not? Say, well, it worked for me. Well, yeah, but it may not work for me. Our situations may be different. See? And you right there in your house with your phone right now, your computer, whatever you're on this day, and you just had your therapy session with the Word of God. And let's put it this way. Let's just make it very, very, very good. It's an ultimate therapy session. You see, we're going beyond whatever anybody else could have. Doesn't matter if they pay $200 a session. See, this still the best therapy is the Word of God. Now, we could go on and on and on and on and on, but I just want you to know, I just want to give you a little session today. I believe in the power of therapy, God's therapy. God's therapy, hear what I say. That means the Word. The Word will heal you. The Word will deliver you. The Word will set you free from whatever is bothering you. You know what? You get sick, and you say, well, I don't feel sick. Why you don't feel sick? Because what? The Word of God done touched you, done healed you. But now when you start feeling sick all the time, you know, sometimes you get the feeling sick, that means the enemy done come in there and did what? He slipped you a Mickey too, didn't he? You gone back to that, I am so sick. So we keep saying it, and then what? It's a, what are we? Sick. So sick, and then somebody come up and make a suggestion. Well, you better go on to the hospital, go over to the emergency room. Why are you always on sense of my emergency room all the time? Can't you say, we going to pray? Let's pray. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke, bind that sick spirit right now, and we command it to take its flight. In the name of Jesus, for the blood of Jesus is against you, Satan, right now, in Jesus' name, and so it is. Simple prayer. Pray for your body right now. Every one of you that heard that prayer right now, it's for you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your head, your heart, your throat. you, whatever's wrong with you, in Jesus' name, your foot, your leg, your knee, your toenail, everything right now in the name of Jesus. And it is so. Huh? That's your therapy today. See? That's your therapy. Because it's ultimate. Isn't that fantastic? Ah, my. I just thank God for it. Okay, Deacon Mike, you here? There you go. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for that, about that training and the growth. Because all of us can do that. I remember my Uncle Gene had told me long years ago, he said, you can learn something every day. There's something new every day that you can learn. So if we pay attention, you hear what I say? If we pay attention, we'll be learning. We're learning right now as we speak and listen. We're learning something. Some people don't want to comprehend the word. Some people it takes a little time, you know, but we'll get it. We'll get it. And I was looking up here in Psalms 119. I was looking at 38, and it says, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgment are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts, quicken me in thy righteousness. So we all have things to do, and we all have that word that's in us that we got to learn to get into. You know, because once that word is established inside of our hearts and our minds, we can do something. We can move forward. We don't have to move behind. We don't have to get anywhere. You know, it's like Apostle was saying about that training and growth. When you are in a job, no matter if you know the job or not, that company's still going to train you their way. They always do. Don't matter, I don't know why they even ask for experience when they're going to train you their way anyway. You understand? They're going to tell you, forget what you learned before. This is the way we want to do it. You understand? So therefore, you even though you know how to do it, but they still going to insist that they train you too. So we got to look at it. So now you're being trained for the same job two times. You know, but is that growth? Is that growth? You know, so we got to look at things, you know, as bishops say, the same, it's in the natural, the same in the spirit. So we can look at the parallels to that looks to this, that we do every day in life. Because what's going on now is going on in the spirit. So we got to look. It's always a war between good and evil, between God and Satan. There's always something going on. Because Satan is always trying to take over. God is always beating him down. But Satan gets back up and he try again. He's going to send his imps, so God sends his angels. See? So we got to look at all of these things that going on. Because sometimes, as Pastor Apostle was talking about the therapy, you always got a battle of the mind, too. Because of the fact that the matter is, if the devil finds one little corner to creep in, he gonna creep. But that's his job. But long as you remember the word unto you, you'll know that we all have issues, so to speak, some kind of way. It's little things, you know. Sometimes it might be big, but a lot of times we blow up little things to make it bigger than what it is, because we panic, you know. And it, you know, to me, it's all right, because it makes me feel like I'm alive if I panic. But the thing about it is, I know it ain't no good. You know, but sometimes I got to take a step back and take a deep breath and say, ooh, Jesus, you can help. you know, it, you know, that panic is only for a minute or two, and then I get a grip on myself, and yay, Jesus will bring me down out of that panic. You know, but that's what you got. You know, you do what works for you. Let me just put it you that way. You do what works for you, because everybody's not the same. Everybody got their own techniques to get in contact with God. Let's face it. We all do things a little different here and there. I like to take a step back, take a deep breath, and then I can go. But if you don't do that, then, you know, you'll wind up saying things you don't want to say. You wind up doing things you don't want to do because you're upset and you're out of control. So we got to look at that too. So and therefore we got to, how do we say it? We got to keep that evilness out of us too, because a lot of times we be getting mad for nothing. We be getting upset about different things and this and that, and it's not even worth it. You know, so I like to think that when God is blessing and God has something for you, the devil's going to come in and give you little trials to get over. Because there's always, how you say it, there's always an imitation before the real come. There's always something. Let's not get it twisted. It's always something. We all got things to do. We all know, and as Christians, we all know what we got to do, what we supposed to do. I think we do. We all know that we need prayer. We all know that we need to read our word. We all know we need to establish ourselves. We all know that we need to be trained and we need to grow up and grow in the word and stop being a babe. We know this. We're supposed to be mature Christians at this time. Well, at least I think I am too. So, hey, you know, I can't talk about you, but I can talk about me. You know, so I'm just here to tell you about how do we, as the pastor said, we were talking about last night about the training and about the growth. You know, a lot of people have fear about growing in the word because they don't want to give up something. There's always something somebody don't want to give up. You know, they might not want to give up smoking, but they want to be in the Lord. They might not want to give up drinking, but they want to be in the Lord. They might not want to give up women, but they want to be in the Lord. The women might not want to give up men, but they want to be in the Lord. There's always something somebody don't want to give up. But in order for God to move you, in order for God to bring you up and for you to grow, you got to let all that old stuff go. You got to let that go in order to grow. See, that's the same thing they do in rehab and stuff like that, is that they got to tear you down to build you back up. Same principle. You got to give up all that other old stuff before you can grow. You can't grow hanging on to something else. You can't grow like that because that something else is pulling you back down. You cannot grow like that. You know, and you know your training tells you you don't do that. Like I said before, if you go to a new job, they're going to train you their way. So you got to let go of that old way. It's always something that we got to deal with. There's always these little things, you know, these, how we say, these intricacies that we got to deal with on a daily basis. It's little things, and they so subtle. They so subtle. And all this has to do with our continuing growth in the Lord, because we know that every time you take a step, the devil is still on your back trying to pull you back. So if you take two steps, the devil going to try to pull you back a half a step. But if you let him, he going to pull you back the whole two steps. See, so you're not getting anywhere. And a lot of people think that they're not getting anywhere, but you are getting somewhere. Because as long as you believe in Christ, you're going to be somewhere. And you're going to be somebody. And you know you're going to be in a mature position because you believe in God. No matter what goes on, you got to believe in God. All you got to do is sit back and have faith. Believe. Read the word. Pray. Get others to pray for you. You know, sometimes people get embarrassed to have people pray for them because they don't want nobody to know something wrong. Bad way to be. Bad way to be. Because God has sent somebody to help you. But you don't want to be helped because your pride getting in the way. You can't grow like that. And I know your training didn't tell you that. Because that's in training one-on-one with the Bible. Let that pride go. Because you can't get nowhere like that. You know, that's like trying to put the chicken before the egg. Or the egg before the chicken. Figure that one out. You know, but we all have things that we get in, we seem to get ourselves into these days, you know. But what I'm saying here today is we got to be grown enough in the Lord to stand. We got to be grown enough in the Lord to be able to withstand anything that the devil throws at you. I know sometimes he creep up on us, yes. But we got to learn how to handle it. It ain't what the devil do, it's how we handle it. You know, so if we handle it in the right way, we know we done grew up. We got a little growth in us. You know, and every time that growth spurt come, the devil gonna come at you a different way, and he gonna come at you harder. Because that's his job. Now, some people get that growth in them and they think they're above everybody else. Now, they dead wrong. I hate to say it, but they dead wrong. Because you don't know more than God. You don't know more than your pastor. You don't know more. Matter of fact, you don't even know more than other people because you done got high and minded. And you know that ain't right. You can't be looking down your nose at other people. That means you ain't went nowhere. That means you didn't grow, and that means you didn't have any training. Because you're never supposed to look down on others. Come on. We knew that when we was in elementary school and preschool, that we wasn't better than nobody else. At least that's the way our parents taught us. Well, supposed to add anyway, but you know that you'll never know better than nobody else. You know, that's like them old cowboy pictures. There's always another gun that's faster than you. That's the way you got to look at these things, because while you sitting up thinking you know it all, somebody gonna come in and they gonna find, and you gonna find out you don't know what you're talking about, because somebody gonna be there and gonna be come down on you and know way more than you know, and shut you up. See, then you got to roll over in your little corner and find out, I don't know what I thought I know. See? I mean, we got a lot of phony people out there, you know. Let's face that, too. Who try to run roughshod over you, who trying to fake a move over us. We have a lot. But if we ain't, how we say it, if we don't have that growth in Christ, anybody gonna pull anything over you. See, our training taught us to be aware of these fake preachers, these fake prophets, and to have that discerning spirit. To know when that fakeness is coming, to know when that imposter is there, because they do give you clues. I ain't going to tell you a lie, but they do give you clues. It might be a word that's wrong here or there. It might be something they do here or there. But there's always a clue. But a lot of times people don't pay attention to these things because they're listening to their lips. They're not listening to the actual words. They're just listening to their lips and their actions. That's all they want to see, because it's a big production that they want to see, a big production. And a lot of times that production is not going to get you to grow. You're going to be right there where you've always been, because you're just looking at the big production. You're not looking at the word. You're not thinking about the spirit. You're thinking about that production. You're thinking about how this look. You're thinking about you're in this big mega church and you ain't got to do nothing but just look at the stage. see? But you're looking at a production. You're not looking at the spirit. You're not looking at your soul or the soul next to you. You're not looking at nothing but a production. That ain't growth. That ain't even in your training. But people flock to that. But people flock to all these big productions and stuff. People do flock to it now. But we need to understand about our own soul and our own salvation and our own growth. Think about your training. Now, Apostle been training us a long time, and sometimes she get mad when she done taught us something and we don't know. She do get mad at us, but hey, you know, it'll come back to us sooner or later. But the thing about it is, we've been taught all these things to help us grow. We've been trained for us to grow. Long as you don't have no fear about growing. Some people got fear of it. They don't want to go no further than they are because they're afraid. They're afraid that God is going to do something to them. But God forgives us all of our sins. We just ask. All you got to do is ask. You have not because you ask not. If you don't want God and the Spirit to be in you, don't ask. Simple. How are you going to grow? Now, if you in school and you don't ask questions, how are you going to grow? How are you going to learn anything? Because you don't know all what the teacher knows. Come on, same thing. These are the things we got to look at and we got to listen to, that we got to abide by these same principles to grow. We got to go by these same principles to go that the Word of God is telling us. You know, the one thing is, I like when Apostle, what was that, verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Be happy about your commandments, that you obeying them, because you know you're getting somewhere. You know you're growing, because once you start obeying them commandments, you'll be all right. Here, Sister Diane, because I seem to have a coughing fit right now.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We just thank God for that word coming from Apostle Porter and Deacon Michael. And Bible study last night was good. And they was also talking about, you know, boot camp. And when we in church, we in boot camp. When we in Bible study, we in boot camp. When we in prayer, we're in boot camp. Why? Because we are building up ourselves. We are being taught the Word of God. We are being taught how to use the Word of God as well. And that word train, it says teach a particular skill or type of behavior through practice and instructions over a period of time. And I went to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 21, and it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And then you go over to 1 Timothy 4:11, and that was the first scripture that was given last night, and it said, these things command and teach. It said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So as we begin to learn, take in everything that we learn, follow the instructions, we are able to teach others and bring them into the kingdom of God. Our word and our actions becomes one. That's where growth begins, when we are not just hearers of the word, but we are doers of the word as well. God is loving, he's merciful, and he hears our prayers. He knows what we're going to do before we even do it. Just like the word today with Samson. He knew that he wasn't supposed to tell about his hair. But he got so caught up, so in love, that he went ahead and he tell it. But God was still merciful unto him. So today, let our words and our actions be as one, and the teaching that you are getting, take heed to it, suck it in. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring it back to your remembrance, that you are able to encourage someone else as well. You're able to lead someone to Christ. That is your training. He said, we are disciples. Every last one of us. Doesn't matter who you are. So, today, take heed to your training. Receive the training, no matter how hard you think it might be. The day will come that you would say, Lord, I thank you for that training that I went through. So be blessed. Tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to Blog Talk Radio. That call-in number is 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. You can also tune in to blogtalkradio.com/timetotalkaboutit and listen to each and every segment that Apostle Porter has put out there. Visit us on Facebook at Logion International Ministries, and you can also tune in there and listen to Blog Talk Radio. Till then, you be blessed.
Stop looking at that. let go and let God. Let go, let God. Oh, let go and let God. Let go and let God. My brother, let go and let God. My sister, you can't handle it. Let God.